Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom right here in Juneau. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. A resident of Juneau's Glory Hall is reported to be missing. Lucas Schneider has been staying at the shelter for several months. On June 22nd, he told Glory Hall staff that he was going camping at Echo Cove. He doesn't have a vehicle and it was unclear how he would get there. Glory Hall Deputy Director Luke Vroman says that staff have been looking for him in that area.
Yeah, we're very worried about where Lucas might be.
When Schneider had been gone for a week, Glory Hall staff reported him to Juneau Police as a missing person. But Roman said police did not take the report because it didn't come from a family member. So the Glory Hall contacted Schneider's father, who tried to file a missing persons report with the police department on Tuesday of this week. But Lieutenant Craig Campbell with the police department says that police waited to file a report because Schneider wasn't expected to be anywhere.
It would start to be kind of unusual. You know, someone starts missing their due date back, but he didn't have a due date that anybody was aware of, or at least that we have received information about.
Schneider was expected at an appointment yesterday, and when he missed that, the police filed a report. It's unclear what the appointment was for or who was expecting to see him and where. An information release about Schneider was finally issued today by Juneau Police. Roman says that Schneider is roughly 5'9" tall and weighs approximately 200 pounds. However, these are only estimates. He is white with short brown hair and is 43 years old. It isn't known what Schneider was wearing when he left the Glory Hall. Two arrest warrants were issued for Schneider today, and a press release suggests that police think Schneider might still be camping north of Echo Cove. Anyone with information about him can reach the Juneau Police Department at 907-586-0600. Organizers with Planned Parenthood are holding four rallies in Alaska on Saturday to advocate for abortion access in the state. The rallies are scheduled for Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Homer, and they come after the Supreme Court overturned the landmark abortion case Roe v. Wade last month, ruling that there is no constitutional right to an abortion. Rose O'Hara Jolly, state director with Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates, says that the rallies were planned in advance of the ruling.
It wasn't even planned because of the leaked draft. We, you know, figured since the court decided to hear a case around abortion access that it would be releasing a decision that was different than one that had been previously decided.
The Planned Parenthood events will also coincide with a political rally held by former President Donald Trump in Anchorage. Trump appointed three of the six justices who overturned Roe. O'Hara Jolly says this timing was also not planned. The rallies will include musicians, speakers, and art exhibits, including a drag show in Juneau.
And then in Anchorage, we will have Smash the Platriarchy, where people can bring a plate or wall supplies last. You can write what you need to get your catharsis out on the plate and then safely smash it. And then we're going to turn those pieces into mosaics.
While Alaska has a strong right to privacy in its constitution and the ability to get a safe and legal abortion continues post-Roe, O'Hara Jolly says they are hoping that the rally can highlight disparities in the state.
So there's always been barriers to care, such as people living off the road system or those in domestic violence situations, people without transportation or in need of child care. So we're really hoping that people will come together and we'll continue our work from before, which is expanding abortion access to make sure everyone has the same access to health care.
Morgan Lim is the government relations manager for Planned Parenthood's advocacy arm. Lim is organizing the Juneau event with a group of community members.
It's not a protest. It's more of like a gathering of people to, kind of acknowledge that the fight ahead of us is going to be long, and we need to be centered in that fight. We need to be in community in that fight. We need to be clear about what our goals are.
Lim says there will be singing and drumming, followed by speakers, including Assemblymember Barbara Blake and a statement from Clinton and Haida President Richard Peterson. Local drag star Gigi Monroe will MC. The Juneau rally will be held at the Marine Park from 1 to 2 p.m. tomorrow. A bat in Juneau tested positive for rabies. That's a first for the city. And as Claire Strempel reports for KTOO, biologists say rabies isn't the only thing that makes this bat unusual.
Protocol for a suspicious bat is this. Without touching it, you put it in a box and leave it overnight. If it takes off, it's probably fine.
But it was still there in the morning, which indicated to us that something was wrong with it.
State wildlife biologist Roy Churchwell got a call from animal control on a Sunday in late June. He collected the bat, which had to be euthanized, and sent it to a state veterinarian in Fairbanks, who tested it for rabies.
So far, it's just an isolated case. We have sent a couple other bats up that haven't tested positive from the Juneau area, so it's not something we're too worried about yet.
This is only the sixth bat to test positive for rabies in Alaska over more than 45 years of testing, according to the state's Department of Fish and Game. All six of them were found in southeast Alaska, but this is the first in Juneau. Churchwell says Alaskans are unlikely to get rabies from a bat. The most likely route of exposure is if an unvaccinated pet tangles with a rabid bat and then passes it to a human.
The key is to make sure that your pets are all up on their vaccinations.
Besides having rabies, this particular bat was interesting to scientists because it's the first silver-haired bat biologists have caught in Juneau. Karen Blavis is a state wildlife biologist.
This is actually only the fifth or sixth specimen of silver-haired bat that we've ever collected in Alaska, so that was unusual.
They're distinct from the brown-haired bats that are typical in the region because they're bigger and have rounded rather than pointy ears. They're usually recognizable by silver hair. Blavis said their numbers seem to be increasing in southeast Alaska, but they've proven so difficult to catch that biologists have resorted to tracking them acoustically. Silver-haired bats have a distinct call, but you can't hear it.
So all the echolocation calls are above the range of human hearing. So we have special ultrasonic microphones that we use to kind of eavesdrop on the bats.
That's the call lowered to a frequency that humans can hear. Blavis is currently working with data from a citizen science tracking project to try and determine regional bat populations. She thinks the data will show the silver bats are moving north into the Juneau area. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
An insect that feeds on treetops in the Tongass National Forest is turning the trees reddish-brown again. The western black-headed budworm starts its life as a caterpillar, boring through the new growth of hemlock and spruce trees. Elizabeth Graham, an entomologist with the U.S. Forest Service, says if you look closely, you'll see them.
They will tie some of the needles together and create nice little shelters that they can feed safely in. But then they also, once they've, you know, moved down and are ready to find a new spot to feed, they may drop down on silk threads. I see them hanging from branches all over the place and have a few that I collected on my walk this morning.
The budworms show up in a natural recurring cycle every 30 to 40 years and are part of the temperate rainforest ecosystem. The last major outbreak was from 1992 to 1995. Although it damaged some trees and even killed others, Graham says the forest always bounces back. Many of the trees in southeast forests are several hundred years old and have survived several budworm infestations. In fact, Graham says the budworms and their excrement, called frass, plays an important part.
All of that caterpillar frass that's falling down on people's decks everywhere is actually great fertilizer, so hopefully it's helping some of those understory plants as well.
Graham says this summer's unusually warm weather is probably not related to the budworm outbreak. In fact, she was hoping that the winter weather would have affected budworm numbers.
One of the things that can impact their populations is snow load, because they will lay their eggs on the underside of tree needles and the snow can actually strip them off. And since we had so many snow events this winter, I was hoping that maybe it would have a small impact, but definitely not one where I'm able to notice here.
This outbreak was first reported in 2020, and since outbreaks normally last a few years, Graham hopes it will die down next year. The Forest Service will conduct aerial surveys later this month, scanning the forest for reddish-brown trees to assess the current extent. The agency is also collecting data from the public. After that glacial dam outburst on the Mendenhall Glacier, the lake crested at around 11 o'clock this morning. It never quite made it to even minor flood stage, and that flood advisory was canceled. Tonight should be cloudy with a chance of rain and a low in the lower 50s. The weekend should look a lot like today, with rain showers becoming more likely on Sunday afternoon. But tomorrow has a chance of rain, too. Highs both days right around 60. Looking ahead to next week, more of the same, with slightly cooler temperatures in the upper 50s and lower 60s. Sunset tonight is at exactly 10 o'clock. It's currently 59 and overcast at Juneau International Airport. This is KTOO News.